You are listening to Pastor Talk.
Do the math. You get one lead pastor at every location, right, of every church, but then you have staff, you have elders or deacons or, you know, whatever the system is in the local body. You have, the math tells you that the scores are of leaders in the local church are the subordinate leader. How do we train them up, give them a good, healthy paradigm to walk in?
Welcome to Pastor Talk, the podcast of Lifeway Pastors, giving you the tools and encouragement you need to shepherd your flock well. I'm your host, Marty Duren.
Before proceeding with my interview with Roger Patterson, I want to let you know we have some technical difficulties with the interview today. And though Roger usually sounds good and his level is strong, I sometimes sound like I'm talking to him from the next room. And maybe through the entire interview, I sound that way. We are aware, but there was no way to fix it, and redoing the interview wasn't a great option. So we apologize in advance for the bad sound quality on at least half of the interview and hope that you'll be able to pull it out nonetheless, and we'll work to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Well, thanks again, everyone, for joining me for this episode of Pastor Talk. This is your host, Marty Duren, and I'm really happy to have Roger Patterson on Pastor Talk today. He's the author of Leading from the Second Chair, Serving Your Church, Fulfilling Your Role, and Realizing Your Dreams. And honestly, Roger, I can't think of a book that could be more helpful to folks than this one right here. So welcome to Pastor Talk.
Well, thank you, Marty. It's a blessing to get to hang out with you guys today and visit a little bit and hopefully add some value to some folks.
Cool. Well, I've got your name and actually met you through a mutual friend who I had interviewed a couple of weeks ago, maybe. And Dan.
Yeah, Dan Hall.
Yeah. And so he was he just could not quit talking about how great you were. Not on the podcast, but he didn't want to, you know, give you all the thunder or anything. Almost as soon as we got offline, he's like, man, you need to call Roger and you need to really have him on and tell me about your book and whatnot. So I'm assuming that a lot of people will have read your book. I'm familiar with it. I haven't read it. But why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, where you've been, what you've done, your family, anything you feel comfortable with?
Sure. Well, with that setup, there's no pressure on me today, right?
That's true. None at all. None. Don't fail me.
So I am a husband and a father and have the joy to pastor a church here in the heart of Houston, Texas. And we thank our lucky stars that we are in Texas. You know, that's kind of how we think and roll here. I've been at West University Baptist for almost 21 years. I started as a youth pastor, came here in 1997, and our church was running about 350. It had been through a real traumatic season. Dr. Barry Landrum became the pastor, and he called me about 8 months later, and he just tenaciously led this church through healing and then through expansion, reaching out, change. Here's a guy who's 59 or so, maybe right. No, he's 63, I think, when we launched a second campus 2 miles away.
Wow.
I mean, when you're 63, you're thinking, okay, I just got a couple more years and I'm gonna wrap this thing up. But a door opened and we went multi-site when it was just starting to develop. So I worked for him for 13 years and was there in the second chair. And then he led us through a process when he was retiring, challenging the church to consider me, which was a real blessing, and then took the reins. So we did a year of intentional transition from 2009 to 2010. In May of 2010, I became senior pastor and have been in that role for almost 8 years now. The Lord's blessed. It's been a rich journey, sweet people, and you know, they still put up with me, so I'll take it.
So West University Baptist Church, what's the university?
Rice University. Okay. So we're in the heart of Houston, Texas. We are down from the Texas Medical Center. Okay. If people know of MD Anderson Cancer Center, for most. We have people, I meet people in our services across our two campuses every weekend who are in town for cancer treatment, and they're just looking for a refuge.
Wow.
And so we've cultivated some really cool ministry from that called Mercy House Ministries. Mm-hmm. And if somebody has a, they're coming here to have cancer treatment, they don't have a place to stay. I mean, the expenses are pretty extreme, right? Yeah. You got to have a hotel or an apartment, depending. We'll have people here for 6 or 8 months or longer. We have a girl from Ireland right now who has been here for a year. And they just told her she'll be here another year. So it's been she and her mom just said, we want to get baptized. And it's really cool what God's doing. But we have 3 different townhomes that we provide bedrooms to people and their families while they're here. So,
awesome.
So, yeah, we're right near Rice University, right in the heart of the city and inside the innermost loop. Houston is the 4th largest city in the United States. In 10 years, it's expected to pass Chicago in size and population, right? So we're rapidly growing, and we're inside the innermost loop. There are 3 loops around our city, so it's a pretty massive place. But hey, it's Texas. That's how we roll.
Yeah, Houston has got to be bigger than Chicago in land area, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. I think the population is catching up. So
okay, I've only been to Houston once or twice, and one time I was driving in from I don't know where, the airport or something. And it was like,
right.
Oh well, there it is. And 15 or 20 minutes later, oh there it is. I mean, it's like you never get any closer to it. It's so
yes.
Far, it's so long. So leading from the second chair, first question. What compelled you to write this particular book? Was it your experience? Was it your experience with other folks? Was it other people saying, hey, I don't know what to do. I'm second in command, or I'm the associate or executive, and I just don't know how to do anything. Is there anybody that can help me? How did you come to write this book?
That's a great question. Honestly, it was frustration.
Hmm.
There was nothing out there for those who are charged and called to lead and yet in a subordinate role. And so I had the privilege to write this with Mike Bonham. He had previously published with Leadership Network. I'll tell friends who are like, how do you get published? Well, write with somebody who's already published.
That's right.
And it'll open a door for you. And so we actually just had the privilege to start the conversation. This came out in 2005, so it's a joy that 13 years later, we're still talking about it. And we just tried to set a template for what is this unique challenge? What is this to lead at the same time follow? And what was interesting while we're pitching the book, Marty, we're saying to Leadership Network and at that point, their partner was Josie Bass. We're talking to them like, well, nobody's ever published a book like this. And we're like, yeah. Point. Well, we don't know if it'll sell. We're like, do the math. You get one lead pastor at every location, right, of every church, but then you have staff, you have elders or deacons or, you know, whatever the system is in the local body. You have the math tells you that the scores are of leaders in the local church are the subordinate leader. How do we train them up, give them a good, healthy paradigm to walk in?
That's fantastic. Now, how much of this came out of your direct experience and how much of it maybe came out of interviews or friends or co-commiserators, at the assistant pastor's luncheon?
So we in our book, we interview about 10 different leaders of all sorts of ministry, that being not-for-profit. Like we have an interview with Rick Hodgen of After Dinner Players Theater. It's a great theater here in the city. And they have the second largest number of seats for the arts in our city. And so they're relevant ministry. We talked to him. We talked to a husband and wife who were planting a church from his experience, and we talked to an Episcopal priest at the diocese level, and her as a second chair. So we really took a broad brush in. Okay, what is this dynamic across different expressions of the Christian faith, and gleaned some amazing insights. And then, of course, there was our own experience. What we do is we give you 3 paradoxes. The reality is leading from the second chair is a paradox. It is not comfortable. You have your and again, the frustration was no one is speaking to us. And so let's create a conversation. There was nothing And so that frustration led us to go, well, what is this? Well, there's a subordinate leader paradox. And that has to do with my own personal discipline with how I relate to my lead pastor. I'm called first to follow while I'm called to lead. And so I'm a subordinate first, then I'm a leader in the midst of being under that umbrella. The second one is the deep wide paradox. All right. We define a second chair leader as someone not based on their title as exec pastor or whatever. And the executive pastor role just started to emerge too. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah.
The timing of it, but, exec pastor, associate pastor, whatever, it's really has to do with your relational influence. You've got to be deep in your area. So this is how I do my work. I've got to be deep in my area of discipleship or worship or student ministry or whatever it is. But I also need to be wide. I need to see the whole picture. You know, the silo mentality is so easy to get into and just say, well, this is my part of it. Well, okay, but you just put your own lid on your leadership if all you think about is your area. And so we're trying to say, look, pick your head up, see the whole. There's a discipline to understanding the part you play and the whole that is taking place. And then the last one is the contentment dreaming paradox, because God has put dreams in our hearts. That's part of how we stay in the game, right? It's not just our calling, but also the dream of the call that God's placed there. And yet we've got to choose contentment today while we dream about that future. We can't live with our head in the clouds. We just got to say, okay, there's that broader picture of what God wants to do in my life. And I've got to trust he's using today to prepare me for tomorrow. And he's not going to waste my today because of what's coming, what he's preparing me for in the future. And we weave the story of Joseph all the way through our book, because Joseph was an amazing leader, but he was never the lead guy.
So talk for a second about the person who's in the second chair. Now, clearly Joseph, at least for a while, had a good relationship with Pharaoh until there was a Pharaoh that rose that didn't know him anymore.
Sure.
So talk about the person who is in the second chair right now. Clearly this could be a man or a woman, and they have a person in the first chair that's either insecure or not a great leader. Or, you know, they just are they're in the way, basically. Let's just say it that way. And the person in the second chair is motivated. They really have vision. They really feel like God's called them to do something. And every time they turn around, they're kind of getting stifled. Talk to that person a little bit about how to lead when the person in front of you is actively or passively opposing you.
Wow, brother, we got time for that one.
Well, you don't have time for it. That's why they're going to buy your book.
Let's do it. So you have the extremes of that, right? You have somebody who's insecure and they just don't know you. And so let's start with this is a very repairable scenario. It is the responsibility of the subordinate leader to learn the dance of the first chair. To learn that they're the lead, and it goes back to the Trinity. I did this in my doctoral work. What is the theological foundation from which we lead? And I did a study of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bruce Ware has a book called Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Roles, Relationships, and Relevance. It's awesome. So our theology ought to inform our ecclesiology, right? So how I do what we do. So if you look at the first out, so I'll say you got to cultivate trust, but you've got to submit to leadership. And to be submissive is to be like Jesus. It's a curse word in our culture, but it is to be submissive is to be like Jesus. And we see the Father, the source of all authority, Jesus submissive to him. But we also see there are times when Jesus, you know, the Father and the Son give the Spirit, right? So the Spirit points to the Father, the Spirit points to the Son. But check this out. There are times when Jesus is subordinate to the Holy Spirit. It says in John, when he's going to be tempted, I think it's John's gospel, he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness.
Right.
Right? So you see this, what we call mutual subordinationism in theology, where the Father, where the Son and the Spirit at different times are submissive to the other. And I believe the Trinity is a picture of how we should function on church staff. So that's my whole doctoral thesis. So that's one. And so if we first say, look, yes, I have vision and I want to accomplish some things, but I've got to submit all of that to the lead that God's placed over me, because the leader God's placed over me, whether it's Potiphar, the captain of the prison guard, or Pharaoh, is anointed of God in that position of authority, whether they're leading redemptively or not. There's freedom in submission.
I'm looking at a review of your book on Amazon, and this is a good review, as almost all of them are.
Praise God.
Yeah, that's right. And it's interesting because he says this, I'm someone who recently transitioned from first chair to second chair by choice due to a recognition of my strengths and weaknesses. This book helped in that transition as I felt my way around this new role. So here's my question. Having been in ministry for a while, as both of us have, we've both been around people who are in a student pastor role or an exec role, some subordinate to the lead pastor role, who desire to be in the first chair. Their heart's desire is to pastor and to lead. But what about the person who really believes they are called to be second chair, and those people do exist, or what about a pastor who is leading and is like this reviewer who says, you know, after I look at my skill set and everything that's the strength for me, my best role is the second chair, not the first chair. Yeah. How do you help a guy make that transition, what we would say that step back, just stepping into a different role?
Yeah, I think we've got to say, hey, it's not a step back. It's right. How has God made me? How has God wired me? What is my greatest use for the kingdom? I want to spend my time doing that versus what other people dictate is success. So I think it's redefining how we look at success. That's one. Number two, when we rolled this out 13 years ago, what was so cool, Marty, is people are going, man, somebody has just validated that I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I was like, wow. I mean, that was just so life-giving to us, because it was, we knew we had something. And what's neat, Mike and I wrote it, Mike Bonham, he also has a new book called Thriving in the Second Chair and does a lot for second chair leaders around the country. Mike is the guy who was called not to the corner office, he says in his testimony, but to the office next to the corner office. Mm-hmm. That's you know, he's got a Harvard MBA. He came out of the business world, but his something unlocked in his life when he realized he wasn't called to be the lead leader. Oh. And when everybody in the environments he grew up in educationally were aiming at the CEO role. Mm-hmm. So that COO position is, and here's the thing, right? It's one of the guys like me, and we wrote it from that perspective. Here's a guy, Mike, here's his story. Mine was, God's called me to that first chair, and I've got to understand what does it take and learn the deal. And the biggest lesson I learned 6 months after my pastor retired, I looked up and I said, where is my covering? I didn't appreciate my covering when I had it. Yeah. Then when I didn't, I'm looking for it, and I'm like, oh, I'm the covering.
Yeah,
now,
you're
know?
The covering. Congratulations.
It is. Woo. Son, I'd rather – I like talking about leadership. You know, it's not always fun doing it. So, but anyway, so the reality is it's you got to redefine what you can't let culture dictate to you what success looks like. And two, man, let's go. The days are short. Our time on earth is short, and Jesus is coming back. Let's go live in that purpose that God's created us for, and not let others dictate to us what we think that should be. So I think validating the significance of it and the importance of it and creating pathway for it has been, I believe, a real blessing to a lot of leaders. And now you've got like Clay Scroggins with his book, How to Lead When You're Not in Charge. Right. And he's writing it from a campus pastor perspective. I'm like, yeah, you know, so Maxwell's 360-degree leader, and it's how do you navigate all up, down, sideways when you're not the lead guy. So there's a lot out there for the conversation. And it was just our joy to have the privilege to get it started and create a framework for it.
That's awesome. If you haven't caught my interview on, if you're listening, you haven't caught my interview on Pastor Talk with Clay Scroggins, it was also good. So you have written Leading from the Second Chair. You have a more recent book called A Minute of Vision for Men. So why don't you take a minute to explain what that book's about?
Sure. This came out in 2006, December, I'm 16, 2016. So December 16. And it is a, so most guys don't do devotionals, right? We're told you got to get in the Word, you got to read, you got to this. And so many of us are so busy and we're, a lot of two-parent households are, and two-parent households where both parents are working, and guys just don't know, where do I start? I don't know how to have a quiet time. Look, my whole deal is give me a minute a day, and I'm going to engage you from sports, from parenting, from hunting, from time with my kids, lessons I've learned, and give me a minute a day, and I'm going to add some sort of value to you with the Word. I think we make the mistake that, man, I got to read a chapter a day. I got to read three chapters. I got to read the Bible in 90 days or a full year. I'm like, dude, give me one. Let's focus in on one small thing that you, a nugget that you can put in your pocket today that will add value to your life. Because if we'll do that over 365 days, we're going to have 365 of those nuggets, you know? And so it comes out of some radio ministry I did and some sports ministry I did. And I'm just trying to engage men, because I think the local church that's full of strong men will be a local church that continues to move the kingdom line forward. I think the men are the key. And so it's just a simple, it's a great gift book. It's a great pre-evangelism book. Hey, you know, I see you're struggling with something. Read this, man. Just spend a minute a day. Check this out. So it's A Minute of Vision for Men.
Awesome. I've been talking to Roger Patterson, author of Leading from the Second Chair, Serving Your Church, Fulfilling Your Role, and Realizing Your Dreams. Also the author of A Minute of Vision for Men, 365 Motivational Moments to Kickstart Your Day. He's the pastor of West University Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. Roger, thanks so much for being on Pastor Talk today.
Marty, it's been a joy. Appreciate what you're doing to encourage, equip, and empower pastors to be the best that they can be. I hope it's a real blessing, for others to just listen to our hearts and our voices today, and just appreciate what you're doing to advance the kingdom.
Oh, absolutely. Now, both of these books are available on Amazon now. Are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter at Roger Patterson.
All right. That's PATTERSON.
O-N.
Cool. Excellent. All right, Roger, thanks so much for being here. And for Pastor Talk, this is Marty Duren.
Pastor Talk is the podcast of Lifeway Pastors and is hosted by Marty Duren. That's me. Join us each week as I interview pastors, authors, professors, and others to help your ministry as you seek to shepherd your flock well. Until next time, this is Marty Duren.